Hey everyone, thank you for taking the time to join in with Uncommon Women Podcast, a dope podcast to bring light to reality from real life people sharing real life stories with a host of women having real life talk, the good and the bad, with no judgment. Uncommon Women's Loyalty is here to support those that need a safe space to speak their truth and rawness to the world. Tune in. Relax, take notes, and let's vibe. Here are your hosts, Uncommon Women.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in to Uncommon Women. I am Shanira, and I am super excited for what today has for us in regards to our guest speaker. We have Shanae that's going to be hitting the stage in just a moment to share her testimony. She's a God-fearing woman, wife, mother, all the above. And she recently started a ministry to be able to create a safe space for those that are going through things in their life and would just want to come together and talk about it. Without further ado, she'll be telling her story and her testimony today in regards to, you know, being raised from a strong woman and having to let her guard down and become a wife to being a better person who she is today. So without further ado, we're going to go into her testimony. But before we get started, thank you so much, Shanae, for coming on to the podcast today. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Hey, world. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, yes, yes. So before we get into your amazing testimony, can you tell us a little bit about your life and how it was growing up?
Yes. So growing up, I am the oldest sibling of eight, which I sat back and was like, whoa. four from my mom, four from my dad's side. So the siblings that I grew up with, we grew up very strong in a household with my mom. My dad didn't live with us, but he was present. But I was fortunate, though, to have also be raised by my stepfather as well. So I always consider myself blessed because, you know, having not just my biological dad, but also my stepdad being able to help raise me and his family. So I'm just like full surrounded by love. growing up, my mom always taught us that, you know, family's all you got. She always taught us that, you know, siblings, she didn't allow us to fight, to argue, even though we did those things. By the end of the day, we always had to come together. So have to give a shout out to my siblings, if they're watching, my mom as well, because that's just what we do. We're just tighten it like that. We went to Catholic school growing up, which I hated it back then. but now I'm just so grateful because my grandmother, who we also lived with, she was big on education, which I can solely right now thank her for that, because she really put that seed in our lives from the beginning. You know, she let us know like education is the best thing that you can have in this world. And not to say that going to Catholic school, you know, made us better, but it's just the hard work. Cause you know, Catholic school, yes, it's money, and to put three kids through school, you know what I mean? Like that's a lot. So, you know, just grew up in a loving family. We didn't have the most money, but I could tell you one thing, we never missed a meal. You know, we've always were clothed. We always were bathed, you know, and people just love being at our house, which I didn't understand until now that I have my own kids. They love being here, which I'm like, why? This out, like, it's boring here. But, you know, it's just because the love that was in our house. You know, my mom was open to everybody. Like, if they needed somewhere to go, they were coming to Aunt Celisa's house. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't take nothing from my childhood with the ups, the downs, everything. I'm just very grateful because that was my foundation, which was my mom raising us to be strong, to be connected together, and to know you can do more with less.
Okay. So being as though you were the oldest of eight children, did you feel that you had to grow up sooner than you wanted to? Was there ever a part, even though you had your stepfather, was there ever a part in your life growing up that you, you know, had to help out your mom just to make things run smoothly?
So, you know what? I not really. So I don't think that I was forced to grow up I didn't have like a position where I had to be like a parent, you know, or even like with the babysitting, I didn't have that. What I would say though, is that just growing up being the oldest, you don't have that person you can look to and be like, hey, you know, I'm messing up, what's going on? You know, if anything, it was just like, I had to be the example. You know what I mean? Like, so it was like, Shanae couldn't mess up because I'm the oldest. You know what I mean? I had to set the tone for them. And I mean, it gets lonely when you're the oldest, you know what I mean? Because with my mom, of course, she would have to work all the time, you know, and it just, I don't know. I thank her though, that I didn't have that heavy burden on my shoulder. Yeah. Like some people do, like they have to play like the dad role or, you know, play the mom role. Never had that, but it was just that the how can I say, not even a weight, but it was just me wanting to be the best I can be for my siblings.
To lead by example, right?
Yes. Yes. Like if I mess up, I'm like, oh my gosh, if I mess up, you know what I mean?
They're all
like,
gonna mess up after me,
exactly,
right?
Exactly. Yes. And I hated being in trouble. So, you know what I mean? I was like, not my mom now. She would lay that whip down, like her hands. I was like, I don't want to be in trouble by this lady. And I never wanted to disappoint. So, you know, I believe that's more what it was. But I'm just grateful though that I did not have to grow up too soon. Mm-hmm. But in the same concept, it was like there was very little room for me to make a mistake.
Okay. So let's speak on to that. Being the oldest of your siblings, did you go through anything in regards to, you know, your own path in life, whether it was your inner insecurities or just how to express yourself and have a go-to person beside your friends?
Okay, so yes. Yeah, so expressing myself, that's where I feel like it took me on a different path, because I didn't know how to express myself, you know, in our household. You know how most, you know, African-American household, you don't tell yourself like that. Right. Like, in this house, stays in this house. But I never really knew how to express. The expression for me came out in anger, you know, so, and it was more like I felt misunderstood because I had an attitude, you know, or I was shut down. And as I got older, I realized, you know, certain things, like, it really wasn't an attitude. It was those insecurities. Okay. You know, not just with family in general, like not even speaking bad about my family, if you're on here, I'm not speaking bad at all, but you don't know what you don't know, you know? Mm-hmm. So sometimes, you know, as kids, you're told you can't stay in their place. You go over there, you sit down, you know, you don't have that time to express yourself because, you know, parents are busy. My mom was a single mom, you know, working, even with, you know, my stepfather and my dad being in the picture, it was still always my mom was the sole provider for the household. So there was very little time where you can sit down and express yourself. And plus, I was kind of looking at it as you don't complain because, you know, be grateful for what you have. You should not complain. And, you know, even just with families, you know, sometimes words that are said, or like, especially with me with the attitude, like, oh, there goes Shanae. She got that attitude, but not really taking, like, being so busy, and no fault of my mom at all, but you miss those things when you're single and you're trying to keep the household running. You got other kids running around, right. You know, siblings. We don't know what's going on. We don't know our feelings then, like what's happening. I feel I couldn't express myself because I didn't know how. I didn't know how to express myself. And the only thing that got attention was me having an attitude. And most of that was not even, I didn't want to have an attitude, but it was like, I don't know how to handle these feelings that are going on inside of me. Like, what is this? You know, and, like
the,
and
then under, really, the underlining issue of why you have the anger.
Right. Yes, exactly. Yes.
Okay. So being as though, you know, anger was the way that you were able to express yourself, how did you get to a place where you realized that you had your own and, you know, inner insecurities within yourself?
So it wasn't probably until, like, I want to say high school. You know, when you get around certain people, you know, you get around your friends, you talk to them more because it's easier, you know, to talk to your friends, and you realize like there's people out there just like you. But also just, starting off at church. So I was 9 when I first started really, going to church with my cousin. If you slept over her house on a weekend, her grandma was taking you to church in the morning. So I attended Zion Baptist Church actually when I first started going. I was 9 and I started praise dancing. Well, back then we called it miming. We were miming. Okay. And just hearing like the lyrics of the songs, I put everything into miming. You know, knowing it now, back then I didn't know that was my coping mechanism, was me putting myself into the church and into miming. I liked going to Bible study, you know, church on Sundays, any outings we had. Our youth pastor, who was Pastor Bell, would take us out places, and just being able to have another outlet like that helped me to kind of see like you don't have to always have an attitude, you know, and when you're around youth groups and stuff like that, and they check you like, why are you always mad? Why is your face always so mean? And I'm just like, that's my defense. And even now I try so hard not to have it, but it was like, I was afraid of people to come talk to me because I was insecure. You know, I felt like I couldn't measure up to everyone else. You know, everyone else was well-liked, but for me, when it came to me, it was like going down a line. And you come to her, it's like, she's a little bit mean. I ain't going to talk to her. But not knowing that my whole aura was pushing people away because of how I look. So getting into groups like that and being forced to, like, even just read out loud, like, I would be, like, nervous. You know what I mean? No one I knew how to read because we were educated, but I had to break out of my shell. And going to church, honestly, and miming is what made me break out because I had to dance in front of people. You know, we would go to other places, go to other churches, you know, introduce ourselves. That kind of start chiseling away at the little bit of insecurities and shyness that I had.
Okay. Okay. So can you provide some tips to our listeners on how they can, you know, get over rejection and tips to deal with insecurities within themselves? I know you have worshiped and did mining. That was a tool for you. Do you have any other tools or tips that you can help our viewers, or even, you know, something you may tell your daughter? I know that you have an older daughter, but something you may tell your daughter or your children if they're experiencing anything that you've been through.
So honestly, just accepting rejection, because I did like a little exercise and it was saying, like, you know, think about rejection and when is the first time you ever felt rejection? And lots of times, like, rejection hurts us because you put your all into something, and for somebody to tell you no, or for somebody to overlook you, that can cause a big domino effect in your life. So I'll never forget. I played a lot of sports. So I did every sport. I was cheerleader. I played softball. I played basketball. I ran track. You know, I did it all.
But you had your mom running around going to all these places because you want to play playing every sport. See, that's why she's so stressed out.
right. But I'll never forget. I was trying out for a basketball team, right? And I mean, my coaches were all like, hey, you know, try out. You're going to be great. You're going to be this. I was practicing hard. You know, I was going to every single practice, all the tryouts. And then I got cut from the team because of politics, you know. That took me straight out. And, you know, I was just like, I'm never doing nothing again. Like, I'm never going to try out because I don't want rejection. But honestly, looking at rejection differently, you're being saved for something else. When I look back at all the rejection that I had in my life, I look now and I'm like, you know what, Lord, I know why you saved me from certain things. So if I had to give advice, even if I gave advice to my younger self, you know, and I tell my daughter the same thing, it's just like, rejection's okay. You're going to have rejection. You know what I mean? You're not going to be the best at everything that you do, but that's an opportunity for you to pivot and either find something else or go harder at it. But also just know you gave it your all. As long as you give your all, that's all you can do. You know what I mean? Like, your fate isn't in the other person's hands. Like, somebody can reject you for no reason at all, which I experienced that as well. But it makes you stronger. It hurts, though. I'm not taking nothing from it. Rejection sucks. Like, it really hurts you. But you have to have a different perspective. You have to change your mindset. And that's what helped me, was changing my mindset about it. It's not a personal thing. It's nothing that I did. But also, there's a reason behind rejection.
Right.
You know, when you're faced with rejection, like, again, I'm not taking anything away from it. It's hard. It really is. It's a tough pill to swallow, but it's going to work out for your good in the end. It always does, you know? And then when you look back, you get to say, wow, sometimes I'm glad I got rejected from certain things. You know what I mean?
I agree.
Certain relationships, certain things. I'm like, I'm glad I was rejected, because look what could have happened later on.
And I believe rejection sometimes is closing the door that God wants to push you into another door.
Yes,
you can't look at rejection as a disappointment, but sometimes it could be a blessing in regards to where he wants, the path that he wants to take you is a different way than what you're seeing. That's right. Where faith over fear comes into place. Like, for example, when I had got let go from a job like 5 or 6 years ago, I was so devastated. I was just like, you know, as a single mom, how am I going to do this, that, and the third? But it actually pushed me into entrepreneurship, where I didn't see that path or where my life would be is where it's at now. And I love, I love my life. Like, I love the flexibility, but I was stagnant into that position and I had to be removed from it in order to grow. So rejection is also an opportunity for people to grow into their purpose.
Right. Rejection helps you not to settle too, Because lots of times we want to settle for comfortable. We want to be comfortable in everything that we do. But when you're rejected, you know, it makes you uncomfortable. And it makes you, like you said, sometimes you're like, I want to get my lick back, as these kids are saying now. You know what I mean? I'm going to show you what I can do. But in that showing, you know what I mean? It's pushing you, like you said, it's pushing you to do more and to do greater things. So now, I mean, like I said, I went through the job loss too with rejection. It does still hurt, but I don't settle in the rejection. You know, I just say, you know what, okay, there has to be something else coming for me. And I feel as though the quicker you get over that rejection, the quicker that your mind's going to be open to see there's another thing that's glistening for you somewhere else. Yes. And like you said, it's going to push you to get there. And it keeps you humble, you know, because it's people who are given everything in life. You know, you're just given. You don't appreciate things as to where if you had to work for it coming from rejection, you end up building like strong muscle.
Yes. So let's speak on that strong muscle. I know you're a woman of many hats. You're a wife, a mom. How is, you know, life being a wife and coming from the background of your mother, you know, telling you or, you know, just teaching you about being a strong woman? How is it being a mother and a wife for your life?
Yes. So now, first on being a mother, I'm very fortunate to have had a great example. Like I always tell my mom, I wish I could be half as good as a mom you were, because she was by herself and I'm with someone and I'm just like, Mom, how did you do this by yourself? I have help and it's just crazy.
Shout out to mom.
Yes, big shout out to mom. Yes, hey mom, if you're watching, big shout out to her. And I tell her, even now as me at this big age, I still depend on my mom for a lot of things. I'll call her first, like, Mom, I don't know what's going on. Can you go to this appointment with me? Can you help me out? Because you're never too old to not need your mom. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Now, watching my mom, though, like I said, she was strong. My mom didn't need the help. She never asked for help. And I've always seen that. Sometimes I would just be a little upset, like, Lord, why is she always getting the short end of the deal? Like, she's always there for everybody else, you know? But then when it comes to her, you know what I mean? She's out here struggling. She never asks for help. So getting into being a wife, I took that with me. And I thank God for my husband because he was so patient with me. I came into the marriage. Now, we've been together for 17 years and married for 5.
Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you. But it was a struggle in the beginning. It was a real struggle for me to submit like to him. And when people say submit, it's not like I'm bowing down to him and like, oh my gosh, you know, you call the shots here. But it was just like, you have help. Like, stop pushing me away. You have help. But I always felt like you can leave at any time because I'm a strong woman. I'll do something by myself. But it doesn't have to be like that. I think if my mom had the choice, she wouldn't have chose for it to be like that. She did what she had to do to take care of us. And I feel as though, like, breaking a generational curse, because a lot of, you know, women in my family, they'll do it on their own and say deuces to whoever, you know, doesn't want to help. But it's okay to have a partner. It's okay to have somebody at the end of the day, you come home from a long day work and you can just sit back and be yourself with, let your hair down with, you know, if you can't pay for something or you're short somewhere, you just turn to the side and say, hey, babe, can you help me out? You know what I mean? So I had to learn a lot. And honestly, I learned that through my husband. Like I always tell him, if I were you, I would have left me a long time ago because it was a struggle. You know what I mean? But you know, I don't want to get emotional on here. I knew that was going to happen to me.
Don't get your confused. It's all right. You can get
right. But you know, I definitely thank God for him and his patience, and that he's seen that in me and recognized it, because I was wall up. Like, as soon as you disagree with me or something, or as soon as like I'm struggling somewhere, I wouldn't go to him and tell him like, oh my gosh, I was always thinking, you know, I don't want to feel like I'm, you know, I'm less than you. I want to feel like I can handle it on my own. So you don't think that you got me wrapped around your finger or like I need you, but I do need him. You know what I mean? Because that's my other half. When I'm running empty, he fills me up, and vice versa. You know, when he's running empty, I fill him up. So as being a wife, you know, and it makes me a little bit sad, because back then I really wish my mom would have had that, because I watched my mom work. I watched my mom struggle. You know what I mean? I watched her having to deal with 3 different, you know, kids. Now she has 4, but at this time it was 3 of us. You know, when we were sick, she had to be the one to go to the hospital with us and then go to work. You know what I mean? Like, go to the school conferences, you know, how are we going to pay our tuition? You know what I mean? Like, it was a lot for her. But you know, how God is so great. Fast forward to now, she has an amazing husband, husband that, you know, has a part in all of us, my kids, you know, her kids. Like, he's absolutely amazing. And he knows how to handle her as well. You know, so I'm so thankful. And I don't never stop singing my mom's praises. I'm so thankful that I have her, and I'm so thankful what I learned from her. And I'm thankful what I learned not to do from my mom's, you know, from my upbringing from that. And no shade to my mom at all, which you always want better for your kids, you know?
Right.
But you know, and I'm thankful that I'm in a relationship, in a marriage, to where I can be vulnerable, where I don't have to worry about my husband leaving me because we got in a fight, or because I'm being hard-headed, or because I'm pushing him away. And to have somebody just be so patient with you, the way that God is patient with us, yeah, it's amazing. Like, when you find somebody seriously that you're equally yoked with, that, I'm telling you, is such a blessing. We're not perfect. We have our bad days as well as our good days. But at the end of the day, I feel so secure. I feel confident. You know, I don't have to worry about anything. I don't have to check phones. You know, I don't have to be looking at the, you know, find my app, where's my husband at. Like, I feel so happy and blessed that I can really sleep well at night knowing that I have a partner who's going to be there for me no matter what. Because in the beginning of our relationship, when we talk about, you know, ups and downs, through thick and thin, we live those vows. Like, we live those vows every single day.
When do you think you had, like, your aha moment where you was like, Shanae, you need to chill out. Like, this dude is here for you. You ain't got to be that strong, independent woman. Like, when did you have your aha moment where, like, my babe, he got me. I can sit back and, like, really chill and be a wife, you know, walk into my feminine side. Like, when did you have your aha moment?
So we had, like, an argument. And he had to say, like, he'll tell me what I don't want to hear. That's what one thing. He's not going to tell me what I want to hear. He's going to tell me what I don't want to hear. You know, he would just tell me, he was like, you have to stop pushing me away. You know what? He's like, I'm not ever going to argue with you. Like, I'm not going to give you what you want, but you have to accept my help. And I really had to sit back. And at that moment, like, I'm the one that's always going to bite back. Like, like, I got something to say about everything. But Shanira, I couldn't say nothing. Like, my tongue was just tied up, and I had to really sit back and let those words resonate in my soul, you know. And I had, and something I the Holy Spirit, you know, it has to be that I had to sit back and say, you're going to lose this man. This man was given to you, and you're going to lose him, you know. And then if you lose him, then what? You know, like, this is what you pray for. Do not push away what you pray for. You know, and then I always have a conversation with my daughter, my oldest daughter. She's 18 now. But I think Alaysia might have been like 14 when she told me this. And she's like, Mom, you gotta chill. Like, you know, she's like, you really need to chill. And I'm like, coming from my little 14-year-old, you know, she's like, you know, we don't want Ashton to leave, you know, because he's not her biological father, but he came into her life at two. Mm-hmm. And that's a whole nother story with my daughter and all her dads that she has. But, you know, she really respects Ashton, you know, like, for coming in and, like, watching him, you know, what he does, how hard he works, you know, how he's always there. Just like, it doesn't, like, he is hands down like a man. He will work. He will go out there and, like, work his butt off, you know, just to make sure that we were secure. And she even told me, like, after that argument, because, you know, your kids hear it, and she's like, Mom, you got to chill, because if Ashton leaves, we're going with him.
She said she was out.
Right. Yes, yes, yes. But yeah, so yeah, my husband, I mean, he, like I said, he's always telling me, he gives me what I need. And when he said those words to me, like, I honestly had to sit back and pause. And I had to tell myself, like, Shanae, just be quiet. Be quiet and really let it sink in, the words that he's saying. And I had to deal with myself, you know, and I had to realize, like, this is a you thing. This isn't on him. This isn't on your kids. This is a you thing. You have to sit down. Is this what you want? And if this is what you want, then you have to work on yourself to be able to, you know, to stand firm in this relationship.
I love that. I love that. It's kind of like, you know, a person fully taking accountability that mm-hmm. everything is placed in front of you from God. Right. It's up to you to actually receive it. That's good. So what advice can you give women, you know, that come from a strong, independent moms, like, you know, we don't need a man. You know, we have that saying, it goes around all the time. I don't need a man. Well, mm-hmm. we really do, you know, when it comes down to it. But what advice could you give to women that's looking to become wives?
Yeah, girl, let your guard down. Like, let your guard down. And I don't want this to sound bad. Throw away the list. Like, I know everybody has standards. I want a man to have this and have that, because I had them too. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But you find what you're looking for in what you're not looking for, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, we all want to say, like, oh, I want them to have, they got to have this, they got to have that and have this. No. If they believe in God, you know, they have a good heart, you know, and they're able to lead you. That's a man. You know, lots of times we are sitting here and there's stuff that's right in our faces, but we're overlooking the one that's not big, the one that's not, you know, I'll just speak on myself. I used to look for, like, the one that's, you know, in the streets and well-known, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like, oh, they're popular and all that right. stuff. No. When I look back now, I'm like, some of the people that I thought were going to be some candidates, I'm like, oh my God, wow. And it's funny, you know, if I can go on the story with me and Ashton, is like, I played basketball, so I played blacktop. And we met, okay. like, we were around, I want to say 12, maybe like 12, 13 when we met. No lie, Shanira, I knew he was going to be my husband. Like, I just said to myself, he's going to be my husband. You know what I mean? Like, you know how you have those things, like, I'm going right. to, you know, so, you know, we, back then we're dating and all that stuff. We end up making it official in like high school. But then we had separated, you know, come junior year of high school, you know, he was like, look, we're about to go to college. And, you know, we got to see what's out there. I was devastated again, rejection. I was like, how dare he leave? Like, what you mean? Right. You know, and I'll never forget what he said to me. You know, after, you know, we go to college and everything, if it's meant to be, we will be together. Mm. So, you know, I'm just like, whatever, bump shoe, da da da, you know, out here trying to do my own little thing. Right. But then when life came back around, you know, and I came into the relationship with two kids, and with him accepting them, I think back and I'm like, yo, oh my goodness, I wrote this off, right. you know, and I started looking for everything opposite of him. Mm. You know, I started looking for, like, well, no, I'm not going to look for nobody that was like him because he hurt me, da, da, da. But he was right. I'm like, because if we would have went to college and did all that stuff, we might not have been together right now. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I always say, like, I even tell, you know, my kids, like, listen, don't, like, just discount anybody else because they don't fit your list. You know what I mean? Because you might find love of your life in somebody who you never thought that you were even attracted to. Right. You know, it's not just about physical looks. You know, you really have to look at somebody for their heart. Mm-hmm. And that's the best advice I can give. And then going into a marriage and being a wife. And yes, it's great that you're raised by, you have your foundation by a strong, you know, parent, you know, however you were raised, grandparent, mom, dad, whoever. But it's okay to lean on somebody else as well. Right. You know, I never lost my strongness. Like, we both bring strongness to the table. Like, it's 100% and 100%. When you have that and you bring that to the table, you can still stand in your strongness, but you're going to get weak. You know, right. you're going to get tired, you know, and when you have somebody who can pick up that load for you, hands down, that's what makes the relationship work, is when you both can pour into each other. It's not just, you know, he pour into me. I also got to pour into him as well.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So that's the best advice I can give, is just, like, let the guard down. You know what I mean? Be yourself. Like, I just did not want him to see me without my weave in my hair. You know what I mean? I'm just like, but yes, now, listen, he'll see all the natural curls. He'll see everything. He'll be like, wow, so you really turned to a different person on me right now, didn't you? You know what I mean? But he still loves me in that way. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? So I don't have to be alpha Shanae in front
right.
of him. And it feels great. You know, it feels good just to be a baby around him. Like, I just need you to hold me. You know what I mean? And, like, that helps break down those walls too. When somebody, you could just be, go back to just being a baby to somebody. You know what I mean? Especially when you're the one that's taking care of everything. You got to be able to just melt in somebody's arms and say, I don't want an adult right now. You take it. You take over.
I love that. I think also, you know, if we are going to have a list, I think it just needs to be a list of healthy boundaries, because absolutely, a lot of people, not all, but a lot of people, you know, forget that creating a list of healthy boundaries can lead you to what you're actually looking for. And it doesn't mm-hmm. always have to be looks.
Right, right. And we're not perfect. That's why I'm like, right. Yo, how dare we be like, they got to be perfect. No, what about you? What right. about you? It's like, you ain't perfect either.
I agree. So what we're going to do, we're actually going to take just a quick commercial, and then we'll go into, you know, what you're doing now, the ministry that you have, and just a transition on how this rose has actually grown from the concrete.
Yes.
Have you recently started a business? Maybe looking to get more exposure? Are you interested in taking your business to the next level? Let Uncommon Women podcast further assist you with our business and brand promoting packages. For more information, please email us at uncommonwomenpodcast.com or reach us directly on one of our social media platforms so we can further assist you. And always remember, stay uncommon.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Uncommon Women. So if you're actually just tuning in, we are hearing Shanae's testimony in regards to how she has grown from, you know, having so much anger of not knowing how to express herself, now into the transition of being a wife, being vulnerable, and being who she is today. So before we get into your accomplishments, I did want to ask you, what is one challenge that you face and as an adult that you struggle with overcoming?
So one challenge is trying to be perfect. I just hate to disappoint. You know what I mean? I hate to feel like I overthink a lot of stuff, like, which it gives me anxiety. I always think like, oh my gosh, this wasn't right, or that wasn't right. Like I try to be perfect in everything I do. So that's one thing that I'm trying to overcome, is like, Shanae, it's okay. Like, it is all right. Like, you're never going to be perfect. None of us are going to be perfect ever, 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 but you're worth it. It's okay. You know what I mean? Like, you're good. You're it. And then within that, also with my insecurities, like, I'm still very insecure. People be like, what? I'm very insecure. Like, when I look in the mirror, I'm starting to see it now, because, you know, we'll go into like the group that we have, the unmasking. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of things that I put on. So when I look in the mirror, I don't see what others see. I see my flaws. Right. You know, I see that I'm not good enough. I see that, you know, growing up, I thought I was the ugliest person in the room. You know, like, the guys aren't always going for me. I always worried about what the world thought about me. And now that I'm getting deeper into my faith, you know, as I'm studying the word and as I'm getting into these groups, you know, I'm doing therapy, which is something that, you know, we don't do often.
Right.
right. Just trying to unpack that. Like, because when we, you know, when I talk about concrete, that's what my concrete is. Like, the insecurities, not feeling like I'm good enough, always trying to point out my flaws so nobody else can throw them at me. Not addressing things because I don't know how I'm going to make others feel, and putting my feelings to the back burner. That's all my concrete things that try to keep me from growing. And I'm breaking through. I'm breaking through that because I know that I'm beautiful because God says I'm beautiful. Mm-hmm. You know, I know that I have purpose here because God says so. And I feel like, you know, yesterday Pastor Bell preached on crushing place. And I feel like I'm always at a crushing place. And I'm like, you know why you're always there, Shanae? Because you're not getting what God's trying to tell you. You don't have to worry about what man says that you are, mm-hmm. you know, or what the world tells you are. Because by whose standards does it mean that I'm not good enough? I don't look good enough. You know what I mean? So that's what I'm really working on. Even to this day, I'm working on. I'll be very honest about that. That is the most, I've been working on that for a long time. You know, I'm 39 years old, and I feel like I'm just now starting to find myself and to be comfortable in my own skin. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That it's okay that I don't look like the next person. It's okay if my nose is a little bit wider than somebody else's. You know, it's okay if I don't have the body like somebody else has. Stop comparing myself to others and just look at me for who I am.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I used to be, I see some of myself and you where it was like, I used to be like the person that everything needed to be perfect. And it's like, mm-hmm. I won't finish it, or I won't put anything out until it's perfect. Right. And clear as day, God had told me, and I heard it again. And this is what sticks with me to make sure that it's okay that it's not perfect, is you cannot control things out of your control.
Exactly. Exactly.
And when I heard that, I was just like, at first I was like, nah, I gotta control this.
Right, right.
But as I kept saying that to myself, it was easier for me to let things go. Yes. So I did want to let you know that, you know, it's okay that if you can't control it, because sometimes it's not even in our control, that right. we don't have to be, you know, in our emotions when it's out of right. our control.
Yes, get out of our feelings. That's the worst place to be, is in your feelings. Because your feelings lie. Feelings are not mm-hmm. facts, you know? So, and then I'm thinking, okay, well, if you're saying you're ugly, are you saying your mama's ugly? Because everybody says you look like mama. Because
you look just like it, right?
Right, because everybody says your daughter, you know, looks like you. And I laugh because I feel as though, you know, God gave me my daughter at a time where he needed to give me her. Mm. Because, you know, back in 2004, just to be a little bit more vulnerable, not to go off, you know, off topic here, but, you know, I had lost somebody, who was really dear to my heart, you know, somebody who, you know, always spoke life into me. And to lose them, I was spiraling, you know what I mean? Like, and I try to make it seem, you know, I didn't deal with the loss right away. I just made it seem like, okay, I never knew that person, you know, let me just deal with it that way. But when you push things down, they're going to come up, you know, eventually, yeah. and the littlest thing's going to make it erupt. So I start spiraling in 2004. Won't go into detail, you know, of things that were happening, but, you know, I ended up getting pregnant. And, you know, it wasn't the best pregnancy. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't what I would hope for my first, you know, my first child. But when I saw my daughter, something in me just clicked and said, no, she won't. She won't go through what I went through. She won't feel, you know, how I feel or how I felt. And raising her, I made sure I always spoke life into her. You know, I always let her know you can do whatever you want to do. I've never, you know, if she was wanted to wear heels one day, you know how our family be like, where you going? Why you want to be right. Girl, no, you put them heels on and you do what you, if you're walking around the house, I've always spoke life into my daughter because I wanted to make sure that she never felt insecure or inadequate. Mm-hmm. And when I look at her now today, she is so dope. Like, she is so, so confident in who she is. Like it's just amazing. And I look at her, I say, wow, I wish that I was that at your age. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I just thank God that he gave me her when he did. And I really believe the children are a blessing. You know, yes, I had a baby out of wedlock, but the baby is a blessing. And if it wasn't for her, like God giving me her at the time he did, I don't know if I would be sitting here with you right now sharing my story. You know, and then having my son, you know, all three of my kids show a point in my life where I was at. With my daughter, I'm just so happy that she's still alive to this day and that she is dope, because I was horrible. Like, I did not know how I was going to raise this girl. I was still partying, Shanira. Like, I was still going out. Now, I took care of my daughter, but I was out there, you know?
You was in the streets, though. You were still in the streets.
Yeah, I was in the streets stuff. Like, okay, baby, you sleep? I'm going out. You know what
okay.
I mean? And I'll never forget my mom telling me, you have to get that out of your system. Because if you don't, you're going to be this age now out in the streets, not taking care of your kids. So she allowed me to be able to get out of my system, okay. you know? And then I had my son not even 17 months apart from her. So again, I had two babies in diapers. Another baby's dad. Well, I shouldn't say baby's dad. He's not. Another father to my son. You know, and then I years later, I have my son with my husband. Mm-hmm. But when I look at my three kids and, you know, where I was at in my life, they all tell a different story in my life. But I'm just so happy that my kids are still growing up to be great people. You know what I mean? Like, especially in the world now, like mm-hmm. even from different parts of my life, they all had a different part of Shanae. You know what I mean? Like, yes. AJ's never going to, AJ's my youngest. He'll never experience the mom that Alaysia had because mm-hmm. I'm in a different space. Mm-hmm. Amir's never going to experience the mom that Alaysia had because I'm in a different space. you know, but I just thank God he knows exactly what we need. Even though the world might look at it like, oh, she got all these kids. No, 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 baby. My kids were the reason why. And I look at them, even now, I look at them and say, I got to keep going. I got to keep going. I cannot keep living my life the way I'm living. I have to raise these kids to be strong in this mean, cruel world.
Mm-hmm. And honestly, knowing you and, you know, seeing your kids, they're a true example of who you are today. So I don't think you have to worry about that. It's the people that's surrounding us that we definitely got to pray on for our kids, because your son, your daughter, even your youngest, they're a prime example of what you're sowing into them now is manifesting in who they are. Absolutely. Yes.
I appreciate that. And that's my biggest thing in life. Like, I don't care about the accolades. I don't care about the titles. It's just that my kids, and again, I'm about to start crying, that my kids are able to be in this world and just to be strong, like strong people. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because my mom instilled that in us. And when I look back and I look at, you know, my sisters and brothers, like, we're different. I don't care what nobody says. We're different than a lot of our family members, you know? And that's because we're taught different things, like just cherish each other and value each other. I tell my kids, look, I don't care if you guys don't go to college. I don't care if you guys don't do X, Y, and Z. I just want you to be good people. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I want you to be able to get everything that life has for you. I want you to be able to wake up every day and just be grateful that you're here on this earth and to know that the world needs you. Mm-hmm. My family used to say, who do you think you are? God's gift to the world? Yes. Yes, I am. I am God's gift. I am God's gift to the world. It doesn't mean I'm conceited, but I am. I'm here for a purpose. And I pray to God that he keeps them on that path and that I can live to see my kids, you know, just come into themselves, come into their purpose and just be great people. Because these kids nowadays, it's horrible. Mm-hmm. It's so bad, you know, and I fear for these kids now, but I'm just like, I can just do my part in mine and hoping that when they have theirs, it'll keep going. Like, to anybody who's listening too, and you have kids, and you know, we have to start doing better with our kids and start pouring into our children. Yes. Like, they are our future. If we don't pour into them, the world's going to eat them up.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, and the world's going to tell them all kinds of things, because I almost let the world tell me who I was. If it wasn't for the people that I had in my life, the village that was in my life, my mom being in my life, you know, and having like the grandparents, you know, the friends' parents, you know, who were in my life, I don't know where I would be. And it's hard now for these kids. It's so hard. So I can imagine, as me being an adult going through this, I can't imagine how these kids are feeling right now. We have to pour into our children, even if they're not yours. Because I had other people pouring into me as well. It wasn't just my mom. You know, I had church mothers and friends, you know, mothers that poured into me. We have to start doing that. Stop ignoring people's kids because they're not yours. We have a responsibility as Christians, as people who love God, to just pour into these kids. We have to. That is our number one duty, is to make sure these kids know they are loved. Uh-huh. You know, it's nothing like knowing that somebody loves you.
So like I said, you're an amazing mom. We do have some witnesses over here that's listening in. Bernita, she's also attests that you're doing an amazing job.
Oh, thank you, Bernie. Thank you. And I was trying to cry on here, but it's just like,
okay, girl, it's a podcast. Just let it flow. Before we get into your ministry, I did want to come in another comment that I've seen. Tanira Green has said, meeting you now, you would never known that you ever felt that way, talking about your insecurities, because you're so outgoing and personable.
Thank you, Tanira. Yes, and that right there, Tanira, I have to say thank you to you too for that, because that Greece trip, really, like, I've never been on a trip where I didn't know people and I still felt comfortable. Because again, I would just automatically close in, put my mean face on and be like, nobody talk to me. But it was just like, when you're around people that are also genuine, you know, that you just connect with, that trip was amazing, because I've never been out of the country with people that I didn't know. You know what I mean? So that was all works of God. But Tanira, I love you as well. You are also awesome. Beautiful soul, like beautiful, beautiful soul. So I appreciate it.
I'm glad you enjoyed that. Shout out to Travel with Coco.
Yes.
Side note. But let's get into your ministry. So you are a co-host, a co-liberal ministry that's called Unmasking the Unmentionables. Can you tell us about that, how that all started, where that came into place, and, you know, how people that are listening or anyone that's in the area can actually join in to, you know, come to your ministry?
Yes. So that idea was birthed through Latoya Shirley and Charlize Bell. We all got together and, you know, we're also all in the church together. And there's just certain things that the church doesn't want to talk about, that we don't want to talk about, you know, sometimes growing up, molestation, you know, being a single parent, being isolated, you know. So we got together, we get together every second and fourth Thursday of the month at 620 Church Street. We get together and we just talk about those things that you really wouldn't talk about. We have a book that's called Battlefield of the Mind that we're coming out of, and you'll be surprised like how much we are unmasking ourselves. Because we all put up this facade, like everything's so great. Oh, you know, how are you? Oh, I'm blessed and highly favored. No, it's okay to say I'm not all right today. It's okay to go back and figure out why, you know, do you handle certain situations the way you do? Why does your mind think the way it is? You have to free your mind if you want anything else to be freed in your life. You have to renew your mind, you know, because your mind can play a lot of tricks on you. And a lot of us in the group, you know, we call it our millennials, we're unmasking things that we didn't talk about growing up, you know, with our parents, because they didn't talk about it with their parents, and so on and so on. So, you know, it's not saying that, oh, we weren't raised right, but it's just certain things that, you know, we can't blame our parents for not knowing what they didn't know, or not being loved on. But we really dig in deep, and it's very, it's a secure place. It's a safe place. So we don't, what goes on there, we don't share testimonies, you know, we don't tell people's business, but we really get in, we unmask, we take off those masks, and we're vulnerable with each other. We do have certain, you know, like if there's certain conversations that are too deep, you are allowed to, you know, step out or do whatever. But honestly, we've been doing this since June, and it has been nothing but like greatness since then. Every time we get together, somebody's getting unmasked, you know, somebody's pulling down their mask, and it's helping us like in all walks of life. You know, we're sharing stories with each other. There's people in that group that I've known all my life and did not know some of the struggles that they had, you know, growing up. And it makes you understand like, oh, okay, now I see why you act that way. Or now I see why you get triggered on certain things. But we're really trying to make sure our minds are unmasked, like freeing ourselves up. So it's okay. It's okay to not be okay. It's okay to lean on sisters, because, you know, as women, sometimes we don't always come together. So it is okay. And it is possible for women to come together and not judge each other and not, you know, tell each other's business and not want to say, oh, I'm better than you. We're all coming together in a safe space and just loving on each other. And it has done wonders for me, I know for sure. But we're just pulling the mask off little by little. It hurts. It does. Like, we got to dig in deep sometimes, you know, but it is such a blessing that we were actually able to do that, that, you know, that our pastor gave us, you know, that platform to be able to do that. And again, it's more of what's not talked about in the church house.
Okay. So your next ministry for that, will it be April 11th? You said the second Thursday?
Yeah, second and fourth Thursday of every month we get together at 7 o'clock.
Is there a certain age? I do have it for the viewers that's watching listed on the telescreen. Is there a certain age, or is it out to all ages, or is it adults? Like, how do you typically do that for the ministry?
So we would say starting at 18 till whatever age. Like, we don't put a cap on the age, but I want to say 18, because I think that's some of the conversations that we talk about. I want to say like 18 is probably, you know, a good age to, you know, really dig into those situations.
Okay. I love it. And before we close out, can you just let us know a little tea on how things have been going since you started this ministry, and in regards to your life, or just, you know, the community and the environment around it?
Yes. For me, I would say I'm free. I feel so free. It's helping me even to get on here tonight. You know what I mean? Like, it's helping me even like with, so I'm studying to be a minister, and it's just helping me to just be free in who God called me to be. You know, like I'm able to be on my job and, you know, just be myself. You know, I'm not ashamed to talk about some of the things, like some of my shortcomings, you know. And when opposition comes against me, I don't run from it. I just face it now head on, you know. So I'll be honest, like I had lost my job back in August, a job I had for 9 years. And it was brutal. Like it hurt me. It hurt me to the core. And I thought I was going to like handle it way different, but I didn't. I was so proud of myself, Shanira. I just said, you know what, Lord, if you close that door, I know you're going to open something else. I don't depend on the world anymore. I don't depend on people to make me feel good. You know, I don't depend on jobs or titles, you know, because I was wanting to be like, well, I'm this and I'm that. So I'm great. I don't depend on that no more. I just love the freedom that I have, that I can walk in this world and just be a light. I just want to be a light to those who might still be in darkness, or to say to me, girl, how are you still surviving? And you were just jobless. Right. And I can just say, it's nothing but God. It's not any of me. It's nothing with me. Like, seriously, I surrender. Like, my hands is up. I'm fully surrendered to what God has to do in my life. And I promise you, if people think going to church or, you know, being in your word, you got to walk like this every day. Absolutely not. Because no. I'll be the first to tell you, absolutely not. Like, that is not what it's about. But the freeness that comes with it, when you really dig in and know why you are here, when you find out your purpose in life and why you were here on this earth, I really feel God put me on this earth. And why I went through certain situations I did was because I'm going to free somebody else up just from existing.
I love that. And I think people, you know, fail to realize it's more than just going to church. It's about having a relationship and building that with God. That's a personal relationship that you have to have when it comes to your faith. You know, that's the difference between religion versus having a relationship.
Right. And meeting people who are also on that same journey.
Like-minded. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it opens up relationships. Like, I'm just like, I've never had this many female friends in my life until I started getting, you know, like being free. I'm like, wow, I can be friends. I had all male friends growing up. You know what I mean? I didn't trust women, but being able to trust women, being able to, you know, get into it. Like, I'm able to do this with my sister. You know what I mean? Like, again, I'm the oldest. I didn't want my sister to know certain things about me or like, oh, Nay's not perfect. But just get into it, like knowing my sister's in it. You know what I mean? Like seeing my mom come to church, seeing my, you know, it's a good feeling. It's a very, very good. It's a freeing feeling. Like, if you want to be free, if you want to be woke, get woke in your word.
Let's go.
Let's get woke in your word. You know, you don't. And again, he takes you as you are, and let him clean you out. Let him, you know, get you on a routine. But just get into your word. We listen to everything else. We'll listen to a groundhog to tell us when spring is coming.
Come on.
We won't listen. We won't read the word. Like, I just don't understand that part. But just let him do it. Let him just do the work for you. And I fully trust him. And I promise you, I'm a living, walking testimony. If you put your faith in the Lord and get into your word for yourself, it will free you up and you will see yourself doing amazing things. And it's not always about titles. It's not about how much money you have. Just being free is amazing. Amazing. Like, not worrying about nothing in this world, like struggles. I'm not worrying about it. I used to worry about everything, and it was not doing nothing but giving me gas. That's how I feel, you know? But once I just started freeing myself, I don't know. You just see things differently.
You do. You do. And to piggyback off of what you said, because I hear it a lot. Well, let me just do this and then I'll get right with the Lord. No, he'll meet you where you at. He will meet you where you're at.
Yep.
He already knows everything that's going on in your life. He will meet you where you're at and work from there.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. It was good. It was good. I enjoyed the testimony. Let's check and see if we have any questions from the people that's viewing us. Looks like we just have some comments here. We have DJ that's listening in. She said, I'm proud of you, niece. So shout out to Auntie. Shout out to Auntie watching the show. Look like we got Mama Bear on here checking
us. Oh, hey, Mom.
That's that strong woman we was talking
about. Yes, strong woman. Yes, yes.
I know I'm going to butcher her name.
Oh, Shantoria, yes. Oh, yes. So her mom was one of the parents I was saying that, you know, I was always at her house. Like, we went to the same school. So yeah, she was part of my village. Her mom and her, okay, they were part of my village.
Shout
yes.
out to the village that kept you intact on where you are and who you are today.
Yes, yes.
Let's see anyone else. I said Bernina. She said, hey, cuz. She tuned
hey,
in as well. And Alyssa, she said, I'm proud of you.
Yes, yes.
You're going to have Sinead crying on here. She's going to be crying on here.
I know. Now I'm all emotional now. That's you can tell, like, I'm free. Now I'm emotional. You know what I mean?
We turn into big crybabies once our emotions let down.
Yes, once our heart unhardens.
Yes,
you know,
yes,
melting.
Yes.
That's why.
Well, I really enjoyed your testimony. Thank you so much for coming on this platform and sharing your story and, you know, just being vulnerable and to help those others that may have experienced things that you've been through, whether it's with anger, whether it's with insecurities or just not fitting in with people.
Yes.
We love to see the transformation in regards to who you are today. But without further ado, we do ask all of our guest speakers that come on, and that's what makes you uncommon.
Yes, but what makes me uncommon, and I would say it always, is because I am a rose that is still growing through the concrete. And my concrete, like I said, was the hard things in life that were keeping me down. But just know you can always rise through. There's always a little space. If you just give it to God and give him that little space, you can start to sprout through and you will be uncommon, because where do you really see roses growing through concrete? When you see them, you appreciate them a little bit more, you know? So I am uncommon because I am that rose that is still growing through the concrete.
Mic drop. Thank you, Sinead. I had such an amazing time with you today and hearing your testimony. For those of you that's listening in, be sure to check us every last Thursday of the month with an amazing testimony where we let people come on, share their stories, and create a safe space for men and women to be uncommon, be their self, and share stories of people that share their stories in regards to what they've been through and who they are now. We do have self-love seminars that run yearly. Our next self-love seminar is going to be November 23rd of this year. Be sure to check us out for more details on our website at uncommonwomen.net. And if you are interested in sharing your story or coming on the podcast and telling your testimony, be sure to email us at uncommonwomenpodcast@gmail.com. Thank you so much for our viewers for tuning in, and be sure to stay uncommon.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you've been shacking up with us for a while and haven't subscribed to our channel, what are you waiting for? Please like and subscribe to Uncommon Woman so you won't miss another episode. And remember, don't let anything or anyone affect your peace. Good vibes and stay uncommon.